2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 read, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The title of this morning's sermon is, Beware of False Prophets. Beware of False Prophets. The Bible says in Jeremiah 5:31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. Now, why are there so many false prophets in the world today? Well, quite frankly, the answer is there's an audience for it. The people love to have it so. And why is that? Because so many would rather be told what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. There are so many who have itching ears. And when they hear the sweet statements and the polished presentations and the positive only preaching, well, they just can't get enough. And sometimes they begin to despise the true prophets of God who are willing to stand up and tell the truth, to stand up and preach the whole counsel of God and not just cherry pick the parts that some people will like. In the Old Testament, nobody knew this better than the prophet Jeremiah. God had told him that judgment was coming, that Babylon would overtake the nation because of their wickedness. But instead of heeding Jeremiah's message and turning back to God, the people despised Jeremiah and they persecuted him. The false prophets, on the other hand, well, they were beloved of the people. They were popular. Why? Because instead of preaching God's word, they preached a positive only message. They told the people what they wanted to hear. No need to repent. Everything's going to be fine. No need to worry. They preached peace, peace, when there was no peace. And the people loved to have it so. Jeremiah 14:14 says, and the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name, and I have not sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing in the deceit of their hearts. You know what the false prophets preach? Well, they preach whatever they want to preach. They preach out of their own hearts. It's not that God told them or gave them a message. They preach out of their own hearts. Now, the clear-cut cases are those who have claimed to have special revelations that God has spoken directly to them. Those are the clear cases. But other false prophets or false teachers are a little more subtle. Okay, what they will do is they will simply take God's word out of context or twist it in order to gain, and it's always the same thing, in order to gain popularity, power, and of course, financial prosperity. One modern day false teacher, he wrote a book. He wrote a book on how to build a successful church. He said, you need to run it like a business. Find out what the people want and then give it to them. Well, hey, that makes sense, right? There's only one problem. Is that what Jesus did? Is that what the Apostle Paul did? No, the Apostle Paul said, I determined not to know anything else among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, from a worldly perspective, from a human perspective, that advice, give the people what they want, it makes all the sense in the world. And it probably works. There's only one problem. That's not what the Bible tells us to do. Is that what Jeremiah did? Did Jeremiah give the people what they wanted? I don't think so. In John chapter 6, the multitude wanted something from Jesus, and he knew it. He knew it, but instead of giving them what they wanted, he preached a sermon on what they needed. And the Bible says that many of those who followed him no more. You see, Jesus could have had the largest church in the land, but instead he died forsaken with only a few people standing by the cross as he suffered. You see, it wasn't about what we wanted, it was about what we needed. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." There is one false prophet on the internet who has attracted quite a following, a young man who has attracted many young people to his quote-unquote movement. He has been dubbed America's hate preacher, America's hate preacher. And they'll go after you if you dare speak out against them. But it's like the saying goes, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Sometimes we have to speak out. And if it's not popular, then so be it. And don't get the idea that false prophets are always easy to spot. You see, they're not always going to look like Jim Jones or David Koresh. Sometimes false prophets look quite normal, at least at first. You see, they have to get a following. How do you think they're going to get their foot in the door? They have to appear as fellow believers, as sheep. They appear normal oftentimes at first. Remember, they come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, sometimes they say and do outrageous things, like the guy who predicted the date of the rapture a few years ago. Remember that? I think it was 2012. The rapture is going to happen on May 31st or whatever it is, May 7th, whatever the date was. So the day it came and went, and guess what? No rapture. So what did he do? He predicted another date. One televangelist, another one, predicted major end times events a few years back. He wrote a book, put out a DVD series, and when it didn't come to pass, well, he just moved on like nothing ever happened. So beware of false prophets. And keep in mind, many of them are on TV. These are names that most of you would know. I really have to say that sometimes television ministries do great harm to a local church. Are there some faithful men on TV preaching the gospel? Yes, there are. And God bless those men. But so many televangelists are not preaching the word. They are preaching a gospel of prosperity. And it makes Christianity all about you. Not all about Jesus, it's all about money, all about success, all about you. I call it all about you, Christianity. And the people love to have it so. Entertainment, money, success, what can God do for you? That's attractive to many people. See, I have no reservations whatsoever about making a sweeping statement. Okay, a sweeping statement saying, beware of televangelists. Beware of televangelists. There are so many preaching false doctrine. And on top of that, there are millions and millions of professing Christians not going to church because they think they can get their church on TV. And that's a problem, okay? That is a problem. Listen, the church is the assembly. The church is the congregation of the saints. You can't have church while you're sitting in your living room, unless you can fit a few dozen people in there. And then, who's your pastor? Who's your pastor? And this is another problem. Millions and millions of churchgoers are actually following pastors they've never even met, men that they'll never meet, while at the same time lacking respect for their own pastor. Take another look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 2. The Apostle Paul says, "Preach the word. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." Now, at certain times and in certain places, the gospel and the preaching of God's word has been in season. That does happen. People will have a hunger for it. They'll want to hear it. They will accept it. They'll apply it. But listen to what he says next. "Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." In order for it to be in season, people have to be convinced. And one of the biggest problems of our day are the false prophets, quote unquote, if I can use that term loosely, who convince our children and our grandchildren of the religion of atheism. Instead of churches, they have colleges. Instead of pastors, they have professors. Instead of seminaries, they have laboratories. And if you think atheism isn't a religion, think again. Every time you see a list where someone has to identify their religion, atheism is always on the list. So beware of false prophets, no matter what religion they are promoting. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." Now, is there any doubt at all that the Bible warns about false prophets and false teachers? Is there any doubt about that? Of course not. There's a long list of passages that speak specifically about this problem in the Old Testament right through the New Testament. So it would be foolish to think that it isn't a problem today. If anything, it's an even bigger problem today. It is plain to see how some of the most popular Christian ministries in the world are led by false prophets. And this is nothing new, all right? It's nothing new. It happened in Israel. It happened in the early church. And the Apostle Paul actually named them by name. John named them by name. So that totally debunks this idea that you should never name names, because it is done again and again in the Bible. So some of the most famous people in the world in Christian ministry, quote unquote, are false prophets. There's a woman, we've been talking about men mostly, and will talk about men mostly, but there is a woman, she is perhaps the most famous woman out there when it comes to TV, conferences, books, etc. I hear she's going to be coming to this area before the end of the year. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Well, listen to me. She is on record, okay? She is on record, and this pains me to even say the words. I'm being honest with you. She is on record teaching that Jesus Christ burned in the pits of hell. She taught that. And listen, don't take my word for it. Investigate it. Research it. There's plenty of evidence. You can hear her in her own words. My question is, how is a woman like that, who teaches that Jesus went to hell, a woman who is investigated by a special committee formed in the U.S. Senate, investigated for corruption, basically fleecing the flock, using ministry money to pay for her extravagant lifestyle, multiple mansions, private jets, you name it, teaching Jesus went to hell. How is she accepted and promoted in the local church? I heard a local church a few weeks ago promoting, hey, we've got to get a group of ladies together to go listen to her. It's beyond me. Well, you know the real reason. How is she promoted within the Christian church? Number one, people have itching ears. And number two, to be fair, a lot of people don't even know about these things. Why? Because many preachers are afraid to preach a message like this. Why? Because it's not popular. You know, you might offend somebody. Take a look at verse 4. "And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." You know what the prosperity gospel is? Health and wealth and success and money. You know what the prosperity gospel is? It's a fable. Okay? It's a fable. It is not true. The only people getting rich are the televangelists on top of the pyramid scheme. They're the only ones getting rich. Jesus did not come to suffer and die so that we could be healthy and wealthy and live in a mansion and drive luxury cars. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven." That's what Jesus said. Do we want to be healthy? Yes, we do. Is it wrong to have wealth? Not necessarily. But that is not the message that Jesus commissioned his church to preach. Another false prophet teamed up with a former talk show host. He's a multimillionaire. She's a multi-billionaire. And they got together and she questioned him about his prosperity message. And to me, it sounded like they were mocking God. That's the way it sounded to me. I'm not saying, I don't know their true intentions, but they were laughing and they said, what kind of God would want someone poor and miserable? Well, here's the problem. That's a straw man argument. There isn't a preacher out there that says, God wants you miserable. Nobody's preaching that. That's a straw man. Well, they said, what kind of God wants people poor and miserable? Well, Jesus said, blessed are ye poor. Isn't that what he said? And you know, that's an easy thing to say, that God wants us to be rich and all the rest when you're a multi-millionaire or billionaire. That's an easy thing to say and laugh about. But your average Christian, you know, a lot of them are worried about how they're going to pay their next mortgage payment. So, you know, it's not a joking matter. But to them, it's comical. Another false prophet went on TV, and she read Joel chapter 2, verse 24. Which reads, the threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. She said, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, if you just send me $224, you know, for Joel 2:24, if you just send me $224, God will give you financial overflow in your life. Who do you think made out on that deal? She was then caught in Rome having an affair with another televangelist. One of them was divorced. One of them was still married at the time. Both of them are still on TV, as popular as ever. The man she was with, a notorious false prophet, he's the only man I'm going to mention by name this morning, a man named Benny Hinn. He's about the worst of the worst right there. But the man she was with, Benny Hinn, is notorious for making false predictions, false prophecies that have not come true again and again and again. I won't even get into what the Bible says in the Old Testament about what should happen to a person like that. But there's one more prediction that we're still waiting on. He said, and you know, I want to lighten this up a little bit, but he said that the rapture will happen upon the death of Billy Graham. I don't know what one thing has to do with the other. It's sort of like Methuselah and the flood, I guess, if you know about that story. But he claims that God told him that. And of course, Billy Graham at this moment is still alive, and he's 99 years old. I guess that means that God is long-suffering. I don't know. But that same false prophet, Benny Hinn, he went on TV and he said that there are 9 members of the Trinity. 9 members. Think about that for a moment. 9 members of the Trinity. You see, he wants to check his math, I think, because even a little child knows that triangle, tricycle, means 3. And then when questioned, he said, well, each member of the Trinity is a Trinity unto themselves, so actually there's 9 of them. Yeah, well, that makes sense. So I know some of this stuff sounds funny, it sounds amusing, but really what is tragic and what amazes me is how many people fall for it. And listen, some Christians are too trusting. They think that because somebody says something positive about Jesus, that you can trust that person. That's not true. It's not true. Just because somebody says they believe in Jesus is positive, that doesn't mean you can trust them. You know, I'm sorry to inform you, but Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:5, he said, but you, speaking to Timothy, who is a pastor, he said, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And I really believe it is the job of a pastor to protect the flock from false prophets, false doctrine, and false practices, to be watchful in all things. And if that means that we pastors have to endure some affliction, then that's what we'll do. Jesus said in Luke 6:26, he said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. 2 Peter 2:1 says, but there were false prophets among the people in those days, even as there will be false teachers among you. So I think we need to realize they will be among us. We have to recognize that the false prophets are not just on TV. They're not just in Rome, New York, Houston, LA, name the city. No, they are even among us, meaning they are even within driving distance. They're even local, perhaps. There are many, many churches, and you know this, there are many churches that have long ago abandoned the teaching of God's word. There are many churches that deny the gospel, ignore the gospel. Some openly deny the gospel and the resurrection. I told you a while back, last year actually, about a local newspaper article where a false teacher, a pastor of a local church, actually called the gospel of Jesus Christ, she called it the zombie gospel. And you say, Pastor, that was a year ago. Get over it. Well, I'm never getting over it. She called it the zombie gospel, and I'm not letting it go until she repents of it. The zombie gospel, mocking the idea that Jesus rose from the dead. Think about that. Someone who says they're a Christian pastor mocking the resurrection. Some of these churches with false teachers, some of them are easy to spot. Typically, they don't preach through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse. They don't take God's word literally. They always seem to compromise and conform to the culture. Many of them call evil good and good evil. And I have to tell you, on some level, I'm not even that concerned about churches like that, because I don't think a Bible-believing Christian is really going to be misled by a church like that. At least I hope not. I could be wrong. But what concerns me, I think most of all, for God's people, are those ministries that on the surface hold to the Bible. On the surface, they preach the cross, but in reality, they're moving further and further away from it. Why do they do that? Well, you know, only God knows their hearts. But that is clearly a trend, even in Baptist churches, Bible-believing churches, evangelical churches. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So don't ever think it couldn't happen to you or someone you know, that they find themselves in a church that is led by a false prophet. Don't get the idea that a false prophet has to be somebody special or famous or even unique. Yeah, the book of Revelation does talk about a final false prophet who will have a worldwide influence before Christ returns. That's true. But the false prophets and the false teachers that we're talking about here this morning, really, they are not unique. They are just normal people. In this context, the word prophet basically means preacher. God didn't speak to them. They're just a preacher. There's nothing mysterious or mystical about them. But at the end of the day, they simply teach heresy and false doctrine in order to achieve power, popularity, prominence, and prosperity. I'll close by reading Paul's warning to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. He said, But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of what is good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have saved us and you have given us your Spirit, that we can discern what is of faith and what is not of faith. Your word says, all that is not of faith is sin. Lord, I pray that you would give your people the spirit of discernment so that we can recognize truth from error, that we can be a city set on a hill, a light that shines through the darkness so that all men might come to know the truth of the glorious gospel of Christ. We pray it in his name. Amen.